You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
Wow, what a wonderful way to start a show for this evening. As mentioned before, we are
Nick and Mary Angela.
Yes. And we'd like to start this evening off with a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our hope. You raise us up, enlighten and awaken our minds, and give us true peace. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So here we are, another wonderful month. So much has happened, and it is our monthly show.
So happy to be with you this evening, and welcome to our program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy.
And we have Alex and his dad here, engineering, making this broadcast happen. We'd like to thank all the listeners in the Toronto, the GTA area, in Canada, and all over the world. And we want to say thank you for all your support, and most of all, Jesus, because this is all about him and spreading his message of hope and, of course, joy.
Yeah, and tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of a number of different things, and it's all going to be related to the joy of our faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Pentecost, Ascension, Holy Trinity, Corpus Christi that we celebrated not too long ago. We're going to talk a little bit about retreats because Nick and I just spent a weekend away on a retreat. And because today is St. Anthony, perhaps we'll start with that and talk a little bit about St. Anthony.
Yeah, and also there'll be so many more prayers, affirmations, and stories about joy and hope. So today, a lot of people like to say St. Anthony is Portuguese, a lot of to say that he is Italian.
So which is he?
So, yes, he was born in Portugal, and he's one of the most popular saints. He was born in 1195 in Lisbon, Portugal, and he lived not too many years. He was only 35. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a Franciscan. He followed St. Francis. And the I think he went to Italy in his early teens. And so that's why, where do you go, Mary Angela? Padua. Is that not where he went?
He ended up in Padua. And that's why a lot of people think that he's Italian, because there's that big, beautiful church, St. Anthony of Padua.
Yeah, and when you see the saint of St. Anthony, it's about him usually holding the baby Jesus or a lily and holding Jesus close to him. So what do we pray when St. Anthony as an intercessor? What do people usually pray to him? What happens to people and why do they pray to him?
Yeah, when we lose something, that's when we call for St. Anthony's intercession. And there's also sometimes people have like a little kind of a saying or a little prayer. Like some people say, Tony or St. Anthony, turn around, something's lost and must be found. Or there's like different variations of that kind of like simple prayer of help me to find this thing or thing that's missing, that's I can't find. Open my eyes so that I can see where it's lost. Or perhaps as an intercessor, you can put it somewhere where I can see and find it.
So what I like to share is that whenever we lose something, we shouldn't just pray to him when we lose something. We should always keep him close to our hearts. He was one of the greatest saints ever to live. But I believe when something does happen, when we lose something or we can't remember where we put things, we pray to him for peace of mind. Because whenever we're looking for things, we become frantic. And that's just like when we pray to Jesus. We ask him for peace. And so if this ever happens, you're in a situation, keep St. Anthony in mind and ask for a peace of mind to basically be at ease when you're looking for whatever you have misplaced. And 99% of the time, it's right in front of your face. You just don't see it because you're all like wound up, right?
Yes. And I have one more fun fact, in fact. To say
factoid,
a little bit of a factoid, yes, fun factoid about Saint Anthony, and he's known to be a very good preacher, and so Saint Anthony was once so fed up with the hard-heartedness of heresies of the citizens of Rimini, Italy, he went to the town's riverbanks and preached to the fish instead. And the townspeople thought they'd better listen too when they saw the multitudes of fish show up and be right there in front of him, so listening to him attentively. So that's kind of a fun fact, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And he's also known for the patron saint of lost souls, of American Indians, of lost items, not just lost items, but lost people / lost souls. Very important. He's attributed to strong faith in the Blessed Sacrament. And we were lucky enough to be in Padua about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we went to the church named after him. Mm-hmm. And one of his greatest gifts was that he was able to preach the Word of God. And inside the church is the actual tongue.
Great.
Of
such a great preacher.
Of St. Anthony. I remember there was a long lineup and we asked, well, what's that for? Oh, that's where his tongue is, right? So it's encased in glass and it's just something to see, right? It's just that was one of his strongest attributes, was preaching for hours and never getting tired. So.
And also when we were on our honeymoon, we got to go to Portugal and we visited where he grew up, his home, the home that he grew up in.
In Lisbon.
Yeah, in Lisbon, that's right.
Yeah,
I remember that as well.
Little, you never know how one person can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's often seen in churches throughout the world.
Yeah, so. He's one of the most beloved saints, along with St. Francis, I believe.
Yeah, so all the Anthonys, Antoines, Antonios, this is your feast day. So
happy feast day to you.
Yeah, and make sure to get some bread that was blessed at church today.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a holy lunch for tomorrow, eh? So very good. So as mentioned before, this show this evening will be so many things, but all focused on the joy of Jesus. And right now... recently, we just went through a very busy year, time of the year. We did Easter, and from Easter, we went into Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is, we went from Pentecost, then it's the Ascension, and then Corpus Christi. So it's been a very busy time in the Catholic Church. And Mariangela, were you able to take some time throughout this last couple months and reflect on, how the Holy Spirit has touched you?
There's always a nice you know, are we talking about our retreats now?
No, not retreats, but like the Easter season, and talk retreats in the next segment.
Well, with Pentecost, it's the time, I believe it's also called the birthday of the church, right? That's when it's whole started, the preaching of the disciples. And Pentecost is the time where we talk about the arrival of the Holy Spirit coming.
We have the Pentecost, the Ascension, and the Trinity, and through these feasts, they affirm that Jesus is Lord of all. The Ascension, that the Spirit of God has given to all of mankind. Pentecost, that the truth of faith is best found in the experience of community, for the nature of God is best understood through the Holy Spirit. And Corpus Christi, of course, is the body, blood, soul, and divinity. So, sorry, I wanted to add that because there's just so much that we want to share. But about Pentecost,
and it's also a time where the confirmations happen, because that's when the time where those that are being confirmed receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, very busy time for a lot of priests, because they have so many young people, right, that they're dealing with.
Taking care of.
Yeah, and so as mentioned before, we're going to go through a little wrap-up of the last maybe 100 days or 3 months of the church. So Pentecost is the birthday of the church. So as we mentioned before, it's happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And the word is Greek for 50, meaning 50 days after Sunday. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and their followers, and following their earthly ministry to make disciples of all nations. So we will get back to the Pentecost and prayers related to that. But after that is the Ascension. Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Just a quote I'd like to share with you. So it goes like this. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Christ's body was glorified at the moment of his resurrection, as proved by the new supernatural properties it substantially and permanently enjoys. But during the 40 days when he eats and drinks familiarly with his disciples and teaches about his kingdom, his glory remains veiled under the appearance of ordinary humanity. And speaking of which, sometimes we can see Jesus right in front of us as an ordinary human, and we may not even understand it. So I like to say, tomorrow, everyone take 5 minutes and just look around you who's in your life and ask, is that Jesus in front of me? Or what Jesus-like qualities does that person have? So Jesus with us, the joy of Jesus, that's what this show is all about. And then we also want to touch a little bit about Corpus Christi. And Corpus Christi is as mentioned, is the Latin word translates to the body of Christ. So it is a unique feast. And in Italy, it is celebrated, I think, usually on a Thursday, like couple weeks after Pentecost?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
And as Catholics, we believe in the transubstantiation, which is the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. And so from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, let me just read a little bit about that. The mode of Christ's presence under the Eucharistic species is unique. It raises the Eucharist above all the sacraments as the perfection of the spiritual life and the end to which all the sacraments tend. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ is truly, really, and substantially contained. This presence is called real, by which is not intended to exclude the other types of presence, as if they could not be real too, but because it is presence in the fullest sense, that is to say, it is substantial presence by which Christ, God, and man makes himself wholly and entirely present. So the Feast of the Corpus Christi emphasizes and celebrates this real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And there's lots of indications of where the Eucharist has become, you know, really turned into
flesh.
Flesh, yes. And they've examined it and have found it to be of a you know, a heart or a, is it a heart? Yeah, the blood of a, or the
part of the
species,
heart.
A part of
yeah.
the heart. Yeah, it's incredible.
And one of the most famous ones is in Lanciano in Italy. That it truly, when they examined it, that's what the scientists found. So I'd like to share with you a quote from the Bible about Corpus Christi. So while they were eating, he took bread, and blessing the bread, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which shall be shed for many. Amen, I say to you. I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I come into the new kingdom of God." Then after singing a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So this is a passage that we read on Holy Thursday, just before Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, simply put, Jesus is the source and the summit. So always remember that. That's what the real presence of Jesus is, right? The Eucharist. And what is Eucharist? What does it mean, Mary Angela?
It means thankful.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So always remember that it is something that we're so to be thankful for. To you know, to have Jesus in the Eucharist. A quick story: when Lady went up to get the host, the body of Christ, there was a little boy with the mom. So the mom had the host, and the little boy was very thought he could get it, but he was only like 5 years old. And so when the priest, just gave him a blessing, wasn't good enough. So he got so upset, right? So then the lady behind the lady with the child took the host, and then after Mass said to the father, "Father, can you believe the way that little child acted?" And the father goes, "Yeah, I can believe it." And she goes, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, I'd act like that too if I weren't able to receive the body of Christ." Mm-hmm. So that little kid knew how important it was. It's just that he needed to have his communion before he can get it.
Yeah, I'd like to share with you now this reflection here on about the Feast of Corpus Christi and the wonderful meaning of it. So Jesus, the bread of life. The Feast of Corpus Christi is more than a reminder that Jesus indeed is indeed the bread of life. It's also a celebration of Jesus' generous hospitality. When he feeds the multitudes, we see his warm welcome to those who had come to hear him speak about God. In one of Matthew's accounts of the multiplication of the loaves, he was up in the hills, but the people toiled up to him and stayed with him. They were drawn to him, attracted by his loving kindness. Their desire for what he had to give, the food of the Spirit, was strong, and he gave it to them in abundance. And yet, although he knew that they hungered for more than simple bread. He did not ignore their physical needs. He could not bear to see them go away hungry. So he gave them the physical sustenance they had also needed. Bread here is also in the gospel, also, as always in the gospels, is a symbol of that spiritual food that appeases the hunger of the soul. So the Corpus Christi is a celebration of the hospitality and the compassion of Jesus. It shows God's tenderness living in Jesus. And so what a wonderful feast that is. What, you know, like it yeah. shows the beauty and the joy that can come from it.
I like, you know, when people say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church. I could pray at home. So I often want to say, well, that's fantastic. Never forget about praying at home. But it's not about praying at home in as much as being in community with everyone. But there's something you cannot receive when you're at home unless someone brings it to you. And that is the body of Christ. And that's what it's all about. He is the source and the summit. That's why we go to Mass. We shouldn't expect God to come to us unless, of course, you're not well, you're physically unable to. That's different, of course. That's when Jesus works his wonders through volunteers and stuff. But I think it's a matter of going to him, right? When you expect him to come, when you're fully able to, I think we should really assess who's it all about. Is it about the Lord Jesus or is it about us, right? So I always want to remind people that, you know, going to Mass is like a journey. It's our little Calvary. You know, by the time you get to church, you might have to be challenged by traffic. But just think of it when Jesus carried the cross, right? It wasn't easy. And not to say that every time you go to Mass, it's going to be hard like that. But it's a journey, right? Just think of it as a journey. When you get up or you get in your car or you walk, then you sit in the pew and then you pray. And then you march forward to the altar. So you're going like up the hills of Jerusalem, right? And if we do that for this upcoming next time we go to Mass, be it tomorrow or be it Sunday, I think we'll get a new perspective. That how grateful we should feel when we're able to receive the body of Christ. Because in so many countries around the world, even in the year 2018, you risk your life receiving the body of Christ. You really do. And it's just something that we need to stand up. And, you know, we should attend more masses. Because if we don't, eventually they'll be cut back and cut back, and then we'll wonder what happened, right? When we've had the opportunity to make our faith grow, right? So just a few words.
Yeah, here's a wonderful quote on that note about the Mass. All the good works in the world are not equal to the holy sacrifice of the Mass because they are the works of men, but the Mass is the work of God. Martyrdom is nothing in comparison, for it is but the sacrifice of man to God. But the Mass is the sacrifice of God for man. And that's from St. John
Beautiful.
Vianney.
So before we go into break shortly, I just want to share with you some positive affirmations. Jesus is our focus. Jesus saves. Jesus glorifies. Jesus is our source. He is our hope. He lifts us up. He will raise you up. And if you've fallen, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus enlightens our minds. Jesus awakens us. Jesus defends us. Very important. Jesus gives us peace. He gives us mercy. He is the light, our hope. Jesus forgives. Jesus makes us happy. Jesus is our joy. And Jesus, I trust in you. But right now, we're going to take a small musical break. And when we get back, we will touch on more topics that will lead us to the joy of Jesus. ¶¶
again. Feels like forever. Within my heart, a memories, a perfect love that you gave to me. Oh, I remember, 'cause when you are with me, I'm free, I'm careless, I believe. Above all the others will fly, this brings tears to my eyes. My sacrifice. We've seen our share of ups and downs, or how quickly life can turn around in an instant. It feels so good to reunite within yourself and within your mind. Let's find peace there, 'cause when you are with me, I'm free, I'm careless, I believe. Above all the others will fly, this brings tears to my eyes. My sacrifice. My sacrifice. I just want to say hello again. I just want to say hello again.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thank you very much, Alex, for the wonderful music. We just heard Sacrifice, and that's what Jesus did. He loved us so much that he sacrificed himself so that we may enjoy this earthly life and hopefully eternal life.
Yes, what a spiritual song that is.
Yeah, and like Father Knox said, we just, we're going to touch on a retreat. And, well, you know, let's start now, and then I'll add that little quote, what he said.
Sure, yeah, I'd like to talk to you about the retreat that we went on. It was 2 weekends ago now?
Yes.
Yeah. So Nick and I like to go at least once a year, if not more, on a retreat. And we go to Manresa, run by the Jesuits. And yeah, and we encourage everyone to go at least once. Why? Because it gives you a chance to stop, get away. Be in silence, because it's a silent retreat.
Yes, that's a very important part you must add, Mary Angela. It is a silent retreat.
Yes. Gives you and in the silence, you're with God. And so it gives you time to reflect, what is my relationship with God now at this moment? And so just to give you a little bit of the structure of the weekend that we go to at Manresa. It begins on Friday evening.
Friday evening, and you're so wound up. And we went this past like 2 weekends ago. It says, yeah, we'll leave at 7. There'll be no traffic. You could have walked faster on the highway. And yes. Just to add to that note, we like to say it's a quiet or lack of noise retreat, because sometimes I think people get really afraid of the silence.
Of the silence, yeah.
But in the end, I think it's one of the most sacred things that we have.
Mm-hmm. Right?
If you just really stop and just in the quiet, like,
yeah,
I don't
slow
know why.
Down.
Yeah, we're so afraid of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the weekend starts with us finishing work, packing our bags quickly, rush, thinking, oh, yeah, it's no problem. Then realizing, oh, my gosh, I forgot this. I forgot that. I forgot to eat. Right?
Yes.
So, but the beauty is knowing that where you're going for the next 48 hours is a rest with the Lord.
Yep. And so you arrive there. And the first thing you do is to register in and you get your room. And so you go to your room and then it starts off with a little orientation. And the priest, whoever is leading that weekend, gives a talk, a little half-hour talk. And it's a first theme. And that's followed by a personal prayer. And then we all go to the chapel and there's the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament.
And the theme of the retreat that we went to was the heroic leadership of the martyrs of Midland.
Yeah, and it was all about the love and sacrifice that Saint Jean de Brébeuf.
Yeah, and all the other
all
saints.
Sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah,
the martyrs,
which ties in perfectly with the song we just heard, right? And you see, that's how the Holy Spirit works, right? Is to just stay open and say yes, and beautiful things happen like that. And we were led by Father Knox, who did a wonderful retreat.
Yes.
And he did the orientation, and then, as you mentioned, he took us into the chapel where there was more silence.
Right.
Like, the priest will talk. You're allowed, we do sing.
Yes.
We do respond. It's not like you can't say anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's just sacred silence. And then we do, what is it, adoration?
And then we do adoration in the in front of the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, yes. And that's also a time to be with our Lord, be with Jesus, and to time to reflect also.
See, the thing is, a lot of people, and I was one of them, I wasn't sure what I was getting into, but I went to a time in my life about 10 years ago when we went, and it changed our lives just to see the beauty and the graces that are around us. You live in a small little room with no TV, no internet,
mm-hmm.
and honestly, at the end, you don't miss it.
Yeah, you're totally,
free.
Broken away from the your normal life and all the busyness and hectic.
I think it would be even more cool if it was like by candlelight. That would be, but no candles allowed because for safety reasons, right?
And with this structure of the weekend, you're allowed to do as little or as much as you want in terms of what is being offered that on the weekend. You're really supposed to listen to what your body is telling you. If you need to just rest and sleep, then rest and sleep the weekend.
Because, when you're home, there's always something to do, mm-hmm. right? And it's not about procrastinating. It's about, getting, being centered with, Jesus at the center.
Yeah. And so
what happens on the Saturday after you have a wonderful night's rest?
Rest, yes. So then you get up in the morning and the first thing is that's offered is to go to the chapel again for morning prayer. And that's followed by breakfast.
But we are awakened by someone ringing the bells
ding, to ding, tell you ding, that ding. It's a change of a session. Yes,
yes,
time to warn
to wake
you.
Up.
Yes, yes, indeed. After breakfast, we're
hold on. What kind of breakfast? It's an all you can eat breakfast.
Oh, it is. You can, they offer a really good hearty breakfast. You could have as much or as little as you want. Yeah.
So I like to call it a spiritual retreat. Like a Catholic...
A little spiritual bed and breakfast away.
Yeah, Catholic bed and breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's more than just breakfast. Yeah. And so after the breakfast, we go back into the room to have the second theme session offered by the priest. So it was Father Knox, as Nick had said. And then after that, it's followed by personal prayer, and you're given a lot of time that Saturday morning, in fact, until about 12:30, when lunch happens, just to reflect and pray on the session that he has just presented you with. Then at 2 o'clock, you're invited to, if you like to, do the Way of the Cross. Followed by the third theme session, again, followed by personal prayer. And then at 4 o'clock, you're invited back into the chapel for a reconciliation service. And immediately after that, you are invited again, if you'd like to, go to confession for those who desire.
Just wanted to add, like you said, at 2 o'clock, we did the Way of the Cross. I was there in March, and it was very powerful because... you're walking, you're doing the Stations of the Cross, but this never happened before. But on the 13th station, there's a sheet where we have a list of people that we pray for. And all those names were read. And I just felt so close to every single person whose name was read there.
Mm.
They were like our dearly departed. And just to think that, you know, they are in heaven. And it just, I did it for 10 years, but we never had said the names.
Mm.
And it's very powerful because everyone has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of when you take this retreat, you find so many things you would never think of.
That's right.
Like even... in the grounds, there's a labyrinth.
Labyrinth, yes.
Yeah. And, I never knew what that was until I stumbled upon it, right? And I says, hey, this is pretty good. But the only thing is I was rushing it.
Mm.
Like you're walking through, it's like you're so busy, I want to finish it. But it says, wait a second, that's not the whole point. It's not even the whole point to complete it. It's, as mentioned earlier, it's a journey.
Yeah, it's also a form of prayer, the labyrinth.
Yeah,
as you walk it, you pray.
And sometimes we're so focused on we have to finish things, has to be at a certain time. We're so caught up on results and numbers.
So being in the silence also allows you to work on your patience.
Yeah, work on your patience. And, you know, when you put Jesus at the center, and when you're honest and truthful and give it your all, I'm not saying never finish any project or don't have the end goal in sight, but sometimes I think we're just too hard on ourselves.
That's right.
Is that we have to be here at a certain time, and if you're a minute late, it's the end of the world, or if this isn't perfect, you know, and that's the beauty of going
mm-hmm.
to the retreat. It's about letting go and letting God, really.
And so after the opportunity to go to confession, we have dinner. And then after dinner, we go to Mass. We have the Eucharistic celebration. And after Mass, you are invited to see a film, if you like. Or you can skip it and just hang out, pray, read, go for a walk. There's beautiful grounds there. But it's advised to go with a friend, not to go alone.
Yeah, or else you could get fall.
Especially if you go down into the, because there's a beautiful creek and forest in the back. And but if you're just walking the grounds, it's safe to walk it alone. Then on Sunday morning, so that's Saturday, and it finished. And then Sunday morning, again, you rise at about 7:30, followed by morning prayer. Breakfast again, and then the fourth and final theme session is provided by the priest, and that's followed by a short personal prayer time and a closing circle. So
yeah, I think that closing circle,
what
happens is just before the retreat ends, all the retreatants, of course, this is optional, you go in the room and you form a circle, and anyone who wants to share a personal story.
What did they get out of the retreat? What they're grateful for?
what they didn't like, because yes. not everyone's going to like it or like certain parts of it. I think that's one of my favorite parts of the retreat, is just to hear what people got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, there were a lot of people that weren't Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were Christian.
But yeah, they were Christian. And some weren't even Christian. Mm. Some were in formation into the brotherhood or sisterhood. Mm. Some were, I don't want to say forced, but they were there. They never thought they would go. Which was myself 10 years ago. But now it's a steady part of my yearly diet that if I don't go, something is missing.
Missing, indeed.
And just to hear testimonials, you just don't know how one person, you know, they share their story. Because as mentioned before, everyone has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone comes with a story that, you know, we are all children of God.
Yeah.
And someone you may least expect, is someone you think who may not even know English or may not understand, can really...
it can touch you in some way.
Can touch you in ways that you would never expect. You know, I remember one guy, he was a businessman, and he, you know, he always looked like he was in a hurry, but he admitted he didn't like the silence. Mm. That was interesting. I says, everyone like this. A lot of people like the food, a lot of people like the movie, a lot of people like the fact that they could sleep in. But this gentleman said he didn't like the silence, and he was asked, well, why? And the person said, well, going in, he didn't like it at the beginning, but he got used to it. And the reason being is he was afraid of what he was going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the beauty of this silent retreat. And it doesn't have to be silent. It could be any retreat.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a 2-hour retreat. It could be a 5-hour retreat. Because a retreat doesn't mean to give up. A retreat means to step back, see what's going on. Sometimes it's just about breathing. You know, sometimes we're just so busy working, we forget to breathe.
Okay. And so, yeah. And so just to end with the structure of the retreat, we have the closing of the circles followed by the Eucharist celebration and the closing lunch. And so what did we learn on our last retreat? You have some thoughts about what
Ladies
we learned?
Ladies first.
Okay. So I believe Father Knox, who's the, actually he's the pastor of the Martyr Shrine.
In Midland.
In Midland, yeah. So he actually invited all of us to come and see him there. And I think we're going to take him up on it, aren't we?
Yes, we're going to surprise him.
Mm-hmm. He was wonderful, his input sessions or his theme sessions. I think they were all about love. And he had four different titles for each of the theme sessions, of the four-part sessions that were about love. The first one was Free to Love. The second, Guided by Love. Third one is Offering in Love. And the final one is My Mission of Love. And just to start with the Free to Love, actually, there was a point in the song that we just hear, My Sacrifice. It says, when I am with you, I am free. So I thought, wow, that's quite a connection there, isn't there? Oops. So, so he spoke all about love and so free to love. And so he asked us to reflect on, are there any obstacles that are hindering our relationship with God? So are there any things that are standing in the way? And what can we do, or what do we need to give up and follow Jesus, to detach and let go, and so to embrace Jesus, so as that we can have that freedom to love.
Well, that exactly, and that's the beauty of it's the whole formation of the 48 hours. It gives you the time to really assess what the topic or the goal is, like as mentioned before, what hinders us. And it's in that, in the nature, it's in the quiet time, it's in the away time, is that we can find these answers. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're at work or home, you're so preoccupied with daily life that, as you mentioned, there are just so many activities, There's also many distractions. And the worst part, there's a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
From not just what you hear, but like a lot of visual noise. Mm. Sometimes just looking at things can really throw us off.
Very true. We need to even have time to rest our eyes.
Yeah, rest our eyes because, you know, if you walk downtown, you see all these crazy billboards, you work on a computer, or, you know, even looking sometimes on your phone or mm-hmm. iPad, like sometimes like your eyes are like the size of golf balls.
Yeah, all the blinking lights and, you know. And
so that's like a social media noise.
Mm-hmm. It is, definitely. You're right.
And so when we're away from all that, we're able to realize, well, what's stopping me in my connection?
And so in the second part, Guided by Love, he asked us to reflect on ways in which our love for Christ can move us and shape us and how it can be, you know, be a guide for us to move ahead, right?
I just want to share a quick story in regards to retreats. I always like to say, you know, myself, I'm very comfortable in a loud rock concert. And the next day, I'm very comfortable in a silent or slash quiet retreat. And I'm very proud to say, look, I can go from one end to the other. But in sharing this story for a few years, I realized, well, the reason why I like these quiet retreats is because I'm recovering from too much noise from the night before. And so I think I'm leaning 75% more towards the sacred quiet as opposed to the loud music, which is good and it's inspirational to me, but I'm turning more to the classical, which we do get a chance to hear at the retreat. So I found that very funny. And now I'm realizing, yeah, the silence is more refreshing and better for your health.
And quickly on the last two points in terms of offering in love, that's the second last point, offering in love. We were invited to reflect on when we are able to embrace Jesus, what then are we called to do? What are we able to offer then in love? What am I moved to offer to Jesus, back to Jesus? And because he's offering his love to us, what are we offering back to him? And then in that light, then what is our mission then of love? How can we move forward? And the other thing that struck me in this last retreat is he talked about the difference between the real world and the really real world. And so the real world is just whatever is present around us in our everyday life. You know, right now I have a microphone in front of me. I have, paper and books and, I have Nick beside me. So that's the real world. And the really real world is when we go away and enter like a retreat and to be in the presence of God and to look internally and what's going on. That's the really real world. And so we need to take the time to do that every day. Yes.
Every day, right? And I know you can't and that's what the beauty of the adoration is to take that time. And as mentioned before, sometimes we can't afford to spend an hour. Sometimes we get very anxious. We get restless. And as St. Augustine said, my heart will only rest when I find Jesus at the center of my heart, right? And so if you get a chance, just get away. Go in a quiet room or go for a nature walk. Right. If you can go for a 2-day retreat, great. 7-day. Some people have gone even. Is it 30-day? 30-day.
Yes, that's right.
Retreat.
A whole month. Yes.
And just imagine.
Can you imagine? Yes.
Can you imagine how changed you will be?
Yeah, I remember after our first retreat, how different I felt from like being in all the noise, being in the silence and beauty of. And then going back into the world and being like, wow, shocked.
You needed a retreat from the retreat.
Yeah.
It was just so much. You know, they say you need a vacation from your vacation. And we truly did because I remember when the first retreat we were at, we were asked, what is one necessary thing?
Mm-hmm.
And so I mentioned love, and priest said, very good. Another person said, faith. And then I said, hope. He gave me the nod. Another person said, joy. And then I said, forgiveness. And then the priest stopped and he said, like I said, what is the one necessary thing? So I wrote down, you know, I had a list of 10 things that I thought were necessary. But then he reminded me to pick one. And so what I did was I picked surrender. That was one, that, like, surrender or to let go, like to give up everything to God.
Because I guess in that point of your life, that's what was the most meaningful to
that
you.
That was the thing that I was really searching for. And then with that one necessary thing, you will be restored. You will be rejuvenated. You will be at peace. You will be healthy. You will be blessed. You will be motivated. So basically, that one thing that he was saying will give you 10, 100, 1,000 different things, right? And this is what I was dealing with, is that I wanted everything, but all I really needed was one thing. So we'd like to wrap up this evening and thank everyone for listening to the show. You know, we touched on topics of St. Anthony, Pentecost, the Ascension, Corpus Christi. We also talked about the retreat. And we encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go to a retreat, and it could be a weekend, it could be an evening, it could be a Saturday thing. Find that time. You will be amazed. You don't even have to say anything. You just basically, as we said before, most of life is to show up.
Yeah. Right? We highly, highly encourage you, because you will become, you will be changed.
And even a retreat can be going to adoration, because in the silence, you know, that's where you'll find God, because God's language is the voice of silence. And Cardinal Sarah from Africa has written a wonderful book called The Power of Silence. And if you ever get a chance to read it, I highly recommend it. And again, when we turn to Jesus, we will be triumphant. We will be victorious. There will be lots of joy when we have Jesus in our life. Yeah. And so, Mary Angela, any closing thoughts before we end this evening? And we just want to wish everyone a fantabulous summer.
Yes.
And what I'd like to share is that if you do go away, always, you know, take Jesus with you. And, you know, if you do go away, find the local church where they celebrate Mass. And see the Mass times. I think that's fantastic. Whenever we go away, that's the first thing we look at, is where is the local church, and what are the Mass times? So as a closing prayer, we'd like to have the Holy Spirit. We started with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to close with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come into our hearts, our minds, and all our thoughts. Whenever we are lost, we turn to Jesus. We ask him for peace, comfort, and joy, because he sacrificed so much for us, because he loved us so much. And with that love, he wants us to have joy. With that, I am Nick.
And I am Mary Angela, and thank you for joining us this evening. And we invite you to join us again next month. It will be the second Wednesday as always, so that will be July the 11th. So thank you again. We wish you all a good night. God bless. Thank you.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.